Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Five Times is going on tour. Join John Barnes, Jan Mulby, Jason McAteer, John Aldridge and Diddy Harmon live at the Empire Belfast on the 29th of August and the Academy Dublin on the 30th of August. If you are a Liverpool fan, you will not want to miss this amazing night of cheers, jeers and loads of beers. For tickets and more information, visit www.fivetimes.co or follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Five Times Tour. Don't miss out.
Hi, it's Jason McAteer. Welcome to Five Times Podcast. If you've listened to the first two, I hope you've enjoyed them and welcome back. If this is your first time, you should download the other two because we had great fun doing it. Some great topics spoke about. Just a few things to do with Five Times. Go on the website, fivetimes.co, where you can still get tickets for our Irish tour. That's the tour in Belfast and in Dublin, where myself, John Barnes, Didier Mann, John Aldridge will be over in them two venues. You can still get tickets. You can go on to the fivetimes.co website and get all the details. Obviously on there as well is your chance to enter the fantasy football, where you choose your favourite team, 11 players. It's £10 to enter and there's a £1,000 prize. Obviously all the money will be going to various charities that Five Times support. Today with me I've got two legends of Liverpool. One you'll remember, it goes by the name of Super Sub. We've got Dave Fairclough with us, and another legend who also scored goals for fun, Irish international as well. You'll all know pretty well is John Aldridge. Welcome, lads. Welcome to the Five Times podcast. Firstly, we're going to start with Five Times' fantasy football team. It's, you can pick your team online, go on the website, have a look. It's £10 to enter, and you can win £1,000. Obviously, all the lads are getting involved. I'm sure you two are going to get involved as well. Do you go with your head or do you go with your heart when you're picking your team?
Bit of both.
Well, I know you'd want to win £1,000, so you'd be going for it properly, yeah. Won't you?
Bit of both, though. You know, the same players you couldn't pick.
Are you going to have Liverpool players in there?
Yeah, Coutinho's me banker.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Coutinho's going to be my banker. I just think he's going to have a really good season, barring injury. Very exciting for all of us. Everyone that sees him, every ex-player talks about him. You know, you can see a sparkle in their eyes because we've unearthed a bit of a gem. We know that, haven't we?
Very much so. Coutinho has hit the ground running and clearly everybody's taken to him. I think he's got that invention in his game that excites people, and we've not probably had a player quite like him maybe since Luis Garcia was similar, but certainly Coutinho was thrilling, and he's made a nice little start to the pre-season as well, which is really encouraging.
Is he in your team then?
I haven't put him in yet, but Steven Gerrard's my banker. I'm expecting big things from Stevie this year. I think it's good to see him being fit right from the off, getting the pre-season behind him. I think that's handicapped him in seasons gone by. And I'm expecting a big year from Stevie. I think he wants to make a bit of a statement with the World Cup on the horizon as well. I think this is Stevie's definitely my main man.
I was talking to Stevie the other week at the golf in Portugal, and you know, he wanted to prove, how can anyone doubt him, by the way? He wanted to prove them few doubters last season, you know, that he's not injury prone. He wanted to play every minute of every game, and he was so close to doing it, wasn't he? It was only the four against Everton he had to realise he had to do it out of professionalism, and he couldn't play the last couple of games just to get through it, you know. But to play that amount of games last year for him was absolutely brilliant, because he's getting no younger, Dave. And he was an early starter, you know. He wasn't a late developer, because late developers really play into the late 30s. He's still playing now, and hopefully, as Dave says, if he can, you know, stay away from injuries, which he's proved now, he'll have another great season.
I suppose he would be a good banker, wouldn't he, because, you know, with him playing almost every game and being, you know, very much so involved in everything really good that Liverpool do, he's obviously going to get you a lot of points, isn't he? Maybe Steven Gerrard would be a good banker. Do you see him having a season like last season where he plays a lot of football,
I don't see why there's any reason to doubt that. I think the fact, as I say, that, you know, for the first time in a number of years, he's been able to feel the benefit of a full pre-season, and that's key. Yeah. So I think given the fact that he did so well last year, and building on that, I think that's that there are pluses for Stevie. And you try and build your side around key individuals. Yeah. You know, you're steady players, and I think what you get from Steven, he's going to create goals, and he'll score his fair share of goals as well.
Looking outside of Liverpool, obviously, there's, you know, you're looking for hidden gems, people who are going to have a really good season that would be in your fantasy team. Who would you go for, your big glamour player? Who would you be your big one? Would it be Gareth Bale? Maybe. Do you think he's going to have a season like he did last year?
See, you need a goal scorer, don't you? You know, all the top pointers, the price you got to pay at the top range, the goal scorers. And you look at last year, Suarez, Van Persie, you know, Gareth Bale. Hmm. They're the ones.
Which one would you have, though, if I had to put you on the spot now? Which one would you go for?
Suarez was Liverpool, I'd have him. He's at Arsenal, I've been him. It's as easy as that, I'm sorry. End of.
So he's another Liverpool. Why don't you just pick a Liverpool team?
And I think he will lose a lot of support for the fancy team if he does move from us. But key, I am in agreement with John. I mean, he is a key to our chances. And if we keep him, then he would be one who you'd have as a... Yeah.
You'd have in there.
Yeah, absolutely. Because we're backing him week in, week out. So, I mean, your emotions are going one way. You know, I mean, you're not sort of... you don't have that heart rule in your head type of thing. I think we're with him, and if you've got any chance to win, Suarez has got to be in there as well.
Yeah, we'll get back onto him in a minute. One thing, looking at this fantasy football team, full-back seems to be a problem. People don't really know which way to go. Any full-backs in the league? Obviously, Baines has got to be a shout, hasn't
Baines, it? Baines, it's a Seamus Coleman, you know. I know from the blue side of the But Seamus, he puts a lot of cuss in the box.
We see a lot of him from Ireland, don't we?
And this is the first man.
Yeah,
I think, you know, you would get him very, very cheap and
good quality.
Oh yeah, definitely, he'd be one for me. You know, Baines is you know, he's proved what an experienced quality player he is. You know, Scouser as well, which is nice, but he'd become a little bit costly. I think he might get more of a bonus, you know, shelving your bets and going for the likes of Seamus Coleman.
Yeah,
fullbacks are key, and you know, tempted to go with the Liverpool.
So you're picking a Liverpool fantasy 11, Dave?
But no, I think there is value lower down, and if you pick somebody who's very steady, and in one of the less fashionable sides, I think if you going to get your big stars in, you've got to find some value somewhere. Yeah. Now, whether that's somewhere like in West Ham or Stoke or. Someone like that would be your key, I think.
Well, obviously, we're still in pre-season and there's still business to be done. The window's still open until the end of August, and you know, we've touched on that man, Luis Suarez. Yeah. It seems to be that, you know, doing the podcast, this is obviously the third one, fourth one. You know, we're touching on Luis Suarez every time we speak about it. It seems to be the big talking point. And obviously, again, it went quiet for a couple of weeks, didn't it? And it's come up again, sort of all over the news yesterday, because he's joined up with the squad. Brendan Rodgers is now answering questions. You know, basically, what's your take on the whole situation?
Put to bed as soon as possible.
I agree.
You can't linger, you know, one way or the other. But there's no way you can contradict what he said early on and go to Arsenal, that he's been hounded out of the country and go where the central press are. No, come on. He's gone from that saying his wife wasn't happy, then he wants you know, Champions League football. You know, he keeps on changing the goalposts. Whether they can turn around the manager and sit him down and say what we all think, that he owes the fans, he owes the team, he owes his manager.
I don't actually think it's ever on the cards, the Arsenal move. I know they've obviously dated him, and I think that's just Wenger playing devil's advocate, putting the cat amongst the pigeons. Can I get any more cliches in there? you know, just to throw a 30 million bid. But
it was audacity at its biggest for me.
But why not, though? I mean, why not? I mean, if you're another manager and you know the player's unhappy because he's come out and said it, you know Liverpool are in the market to selling him at the right price, that's my take on it. Then if you're a manager of a Premier League club, you've got money to spend, why wouldn't you throw an audacious bid in a 30 million? I don't see there's anything wrong with that.
There's no way Liverpool would ever go and touch anything.
Well, I don't think they can, because they're Liverpool's biggest rivals. For me, Liverpool's biggest rivals are Arsenal, Tottenham, to get that fourth spot. You can't sell them to the Arsenal.
Hopefully Liverpool are strong, like we've seen one or two other sides, you know, commit to not selling to rivals. But I think there are one or two little contradictions as well in all this story. One of the ones ones, the press, the way they hounded Liverpool and slated Liverpool for having anything to do with Suarez, all of a sudden he's linked to Arsenal, and all this seems to be, you know, the devil in Suarez seems to be forgotten about. And, you know, although he wasn't good enough for Liverpool, he's now good. You know, people aren't saying he shouldn't. You know, he's going to move. He's got to leave the country. I mean, we want him to stay. There's, you know, I'm not against him, but playing devil's advocate, I think it's slightly funny of the press to forget how they were hounding Liverpool, and now that seems to go out the window.
I think if you look at Brendan Rodgers' press conference last night, you know, all the questions are obviously aimed at Suarez. For me, I would like, you know, Brendan Rodgers coming out saying Liverpool, you know, we're not going to sell him. I would like Brendan Rodgers to come out and say, at the right price, we would let him go. Because that's clearly what's to the right club, at the right price. Because that's basically what's going to happen, isn't it? So, you know, you should be a bit... I'd like to see him be a bit clearer on what he's trying to say.
But he does, you know...
Because if he says he's not going to sell him and then he stays, or then he sells him, then he looks a bit...
Something has to be done, you know, like yesterday for me. You know, we sit him down, he's out the way now, and Brendan, Ian Ayres sit around him and say, look, this is what we expect you to do, you're our player. You signed your contract last year, we doubled your wages, whatever we did. You know, and now the ball's in our court. You know, you're not going to any club that rivals Liverpool like the way he used to be years ago.
Exactly. I mean, a problem.
And then, you know, if would you do come in and give us £50 million plus a pound, because of that's more than the other fellow went to Chelsea for, then that's a big possibility. You can go. Other than that, I'm sorry, you've got to knuckle down and show some loyalty in these fans, these players of yours who stood by you, and this management, the management team and the hierarchy at Liverpool, everyone stood by you. You owe them the chance to get us into the fourth.
Well, John,
and if it doesn't happen,
John touched on it there. How does the dressing room receive him? Yesterday, how would you take?
Well, I think sometimes you know some of these stories you have to take with a pinch of salt, and I'm not saying that there's no, you know, it's not all sorts of fabrication, but I think some of the elements of the tale are probably not, are a little bit maybe hearsay. I think there was always going to be a problem for us, given that once Louis went out of the country and went off to Uruguay, there was going to be obviously discussion and speculation about would he go back to Liverpool. And when a player is away from the club and he's in sort of surrounded by other friends and things, he is influenced in a different way. Now the fact he's in the fold again, I think, is encouraging, and I think that's a good thing. I also think that there is an element of doubt whether or not he really does want to go to somebody else in England. I think ideally, you know, Real Madrid would be a destination, but you know, there are a number of political situations, political angles involved with Real Madrid. I mean, have they found the player that they really want to have as their marquee player yet? And until they sort of sort out who they really want, I don't think there's any movement on the Suarez story. I wouldn't be surprised if Suarez stays.
Just touching on the dressing room and how he'd be received, did anyone in your time get a cold shoulder for any reason?
It's different in our day. There was more loyalty in the game. Yeah. You know, people didn't play to get away. You know, you got on with it. You know, I'm not saying Suarez playing to get away, but the other fella did. But you know, he didn't. Nothing that went on like that. Now, if I was a Liverpool player now, and Liverpool being in my eye like Steve Gerrard or Carragher, I'd say, what's happening, Louis? Come on, tell me. What are you up to here? You know, what are you saying this? You know, you're contradicting yourself. Hey, don't be so stupid letting out to the press way type of thing. And you'd have a little heart to heart. I'm sure Stevie would do that, you know.
I remember buying a new coat once from Wade Smith in town. It's a lovely coat. And I wore it next day in training, all made up, walked into the lads. And I come back into the dressing room, and Jamie Carragher drew all over the back of it in a marker pen. And I gave him the cold shoulder for about a week because it was my new coat and that. But that was the only time I give someone the cold shoulder. Do you ever give anyone the cold shoulder?
No, I think Liverpool have always been very sensible in their dressing room. I think there's always been big characters and there's always been the odd little, fallout, but nothing ever exists. I mean, when I played abroad for 5 years, I mean, what they do well abroad is you have to greet every player every day. You know, any arguments and one thing or another put.
It comes to chemistry now, doesn't it? The game's moved on that way as well, hasn't it? You know, with the loyalty thing. I think players nowadays half expect there's no loyalty really, and if someone does come in,
you half expect them to go anyway, don't you?
I think a lot of the English players expect commitment and being totally with the group. I think the foreign players treat it slightly differently. I think they just get on with things, and if they have an issue, they keep it all in the back of their own
head. The Bosman ruling has brought less loyalty.
Well, yeah, it hasn't helped the situation.
It hasn't helped, has it?
Yeah, no, because we had the massive influx of foreign players, which has enhanced the league, but it's been detrimental for the young kids trying to get through. It stopped the growth, but so many, it's been swamped the market. But, the quality that we've had in from abroad,
But loyalty for big players, not just the kids, I totally agree with you, but loyalty as well. The Bosman ruling has had an effect on loyalty, because players do run the contracts down now, don't they?
Different people are brought up different ways, in South America in Europe, in different, the Latin Americans and all that. Just different people, different mentality in many, many ways.
Was it like that in Spain when you were there? Did you notice anything different about the mentality of players?
Very professional. No, they were smashing me. See, I left, I had another year to run on my contract, and I had to come home because me missus really couldn't settle, and the kids, even though San Sebastian was one of the nicest places I've ever been in my life, I loved it. And then I thought, well, Toshak asked me to stay for another year because the fans wanted me to stay, and I just thought it was wrong as a family man to do that, so I had to bear my bridges and really in the end forced the club a little bit to let me go back to England.
Mm. I was a little bit similar. I left for similar reasons, but I think the Continentals are quite good at putting stuff sort of to bed. I don't think they let things fester so much. Yeah. So I don't think there's going to be a problem with the Suarez situation.
A little bit hypothetically, if Suarez was to go, what's your fee? 50?
50
million.
Would
you say
40
for him?
No, I'd say 50 million and a penny or a pound.
Okay, what would you say? How much?
Would you want 40? 40 million seems a fair enough number for me, if I'm honest.
Don't you think the goals per game ratio, he's got a greater goals per game ratio than FT?
Yeah.
I'm not being funny. And that's, you look at
his, just to clear that up, that's not the Financial Times, that's Fernando Torres he's on about.
But you look at his mate, he's just left Cavani for 55 million. Now, is he a third of a player more so than Luis Suarez? I don't think so. They're very, very similar.
I think you then look though who's in the market for the player. PSG extraordinary.
And it's some with the Suarez situation is he does himself no favours. And if I was a buying club, say for instance Madrid, he's missed 18 games over the last two seasons. That's a quarter of a season, right? Yeah. Like, they could be big games then. And if you're a manager, you're thinking his temperament, is it right? Does his temperament take 5 or 6, 7 million off the price tag? That's obviously, I think, what's going on at the minute.
But you wouldn't buy him thinking he's going to do that again, because he wouldn't be worth touching. If you think you can't get him and keep him under wraps and make him stop him doing the things he may do, then you keep away from him, don't you?
All right.
And Real Madrid are very much conscious of their image. They've had a bad year with Mourinho. He has sort of tainted the club in ways, and that's unsightly to them. So do they want to risk now bringing in a guy whose temperament yet isn't proven? Have to say, I think after the recent escapade, hopefully the penny's dropped with him, and he's going to be a much sort of safer.
Okay,
safer player.
Saying he's gone. Do you buy it with the money? Do you buy a glamour player, or do you do this, bring in three promising players and hope they bed in and hope they do well? Is that time gone now? Do you want to see a glamour?
Yeah, I think Brendan said, I like what he said. He's enhanced the squad by bringing Gaspar in and Alberto and Coutinho and Sturridge. In the last couple of, the team players now. I like that when he said that, because we haven't got Champions League football, but this is a club hopefully going forward. Yeah. With the opportunity of maybe getting that next season. So I think if we get 54 and go bang bang, 25-25, two top players, if you can get them.
I don't think you get top players, in all honesty. I think we've seen this with Mkhitaryan. If Liverpool are in competition with Borussia Dortmund, if you didn't know what Liverpool was all about, if you come from a foreign country, You'd choose Borussia Dortmund, I'd have to say. I mean, that's an exciting proposition to go there. And it was no surprise to see him choose there. So Liverpool are in a tricky situation, enticing the best players. I mean, obviously, the Champions League arguments has come up in the Suarez scenario. It's going to reappear in whoever they're involved with, if they're They think they're at the top level.
I think there are some big players out there that you could entice to the cup. I like Soldado. I think he's a good player. The player at Valencia at the minute.
Soldado,
that was the ice cream I said, wasn't it?
28, isn't he?
Soldado, yeah.
28, they don't really.
I know, but you need someone to come in now. Like you're saying, you're struggling getting this big player to come in, like a David Villa or you're never going to get a Lewandowski or that kind of stuff. But the next bracket down, you've got to put him in that bracket.
Yeah, he would be in that bracket, definitely, I agree. He's a cultured centre forward. I mean, he's a nice style. He's not an excitable type. He's a sort of one goal in two man. So he's got a good record. He's a solid performer. It might just be the time for him to leave Valencia. He's been there quite a while.
And he would go straight in, wouldn't he?
Yeah. See what you've got. Like, you need someone who's going to give you them 30 goals. I think Liverpool is a club that's marketable. It's sellable because of the history, and we all know how great the club is worldwide, globally. Humongous. We know that's massive. So it is saleable, the fact that, you know, and we've got to try and attain and reach this fourth place and get in the Champions League. So there's goals there for people to come and help us get to them heights. But I think, you know, Brendan's got to, if Luis Suarez goes, then he's got to bring a top goal scorer in, along with Sturridge, and then you've got Aspas, you've got your three there, Barini, whatever happens to him, and you've got Coutinho who can play in that hole and make things happen. So, you know, that for me, the one player who will give you them goals, who you know is experienced.
And we've still got Sturridge. I mean, we haven't mentioned Sturridge, so Sturridge is very much in the loop. And I think perhaps the type of player we're going to find is probably just below top level. And it's somebody who is not he's sort of frontliner for his country at the moment. Somebody who's going to, you know, come through with the team. That would be the way I see Liverpool developing.
Let's hope he stays. We can forgive him.
A couple of goals in.
Absolutely, that happens, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's all forgotten, isn't it?
Absolutely. When I went to Sociedad, some people at first didn't want me there because the culture thing, I was the first non-Basque player. And then you score a couple of goals against Barcelona, it changes the goalposts, all of a sudden. And if you see you're trying and you work hard, as Suarez does, he's not the type of player to come and mope. You know, it's in his blood to give you everything, he's very passionate about football, he loves it, doesn't he? So let's hope, he can give us another season.
Yeah. Another player who's in a bit of a precarious position, and people are wondering, is he going to stay, is he going to go, is Pepe Reina?
Well, it's done for me. I think he's gone. I think that's it, he's done. And Mignolet's
with the cards on the table when Mignolet come in, 9 million for a keeper, you suggest he's going to play.
I think possibly there was talk between Pepe and the manager before that. Maybe it was all outlined.
What do you think's happened there? Obviously, the Barcelona shout's come in, and Valdez has said, "Oh, I'm staying for another season." Does that leave Liverpool now, obviously, trying to replace Pepe Reina because they suspected he was going to go to Barcelona? They've now replaced him with Mignolet.
If that's the case, then they've worked it well for Liverpool, because I know it's not ideal having loaning a player, but if they're loaning him to Rafa Benitez for a year, they're going to save 6 million-ish. I'm just saying, then they're going
is
to
the
get
loan because next season he's going to go Barcelona?
But it looks it does look out, and then they'll get a fee next season for him, so it'll work well for Pepe. And for Liverpool,
and
for
Rafa,
everyone.
Does he get the top keeper?
Things change. I mean, there are plenty of contradictions in the transfer market. We're up in arms when we feel as if one of our players is being tapped up, and yet we know that it goes on. And in the past, teams have to plan for the future. And clearly, Barcelona were trying to get their sort of eggs in a row, and I think they'd lined up Pepe Reina, and the fact that Valdez threw a little bit of a spanner in the works, clearly changed sort of Liverpool's attitude, because I think probably they did believe that Pepe was on his way. So I think to get Mignolet, I think is a good sign, and I also think he again is one of those that he's not right at the top of his game just yet, but he's going to develop, and I think that's the right time to buy players, and I think that's what's going on with Liverpool. We've seen it in the past. Sometimes if you wait till the moment you need to replace somebody, there isn't always that person available. I think Mignolet has come around at the right time, and with the World Cup ahead, it's going to be a big season for him, and I think he's playing in a great level of international football at the moment. I'm pleased with the Mignolet signing.
It's a fantastic buy.
I think it's a good buy.
I think it's a really, I love Pepe Reina. I show him so much respect what he gave the club over the years. Now's the time. I think he wasn't at his best for the last two or three years.
Yeah. A little bit stale.
And he knew it himself. He was trying hard, probably trying too hard, Pepe. And it wasn't happening for him. And I think that's done at the right time. You know, everyone still loves Pepe. He's done it the right way. You know, and we brought this Belgian international world career in. Why I think last year was only the Stoke keeper that was better than him in the league. I just think he's a magnificent keeper. I think he'd be a brilliant
Belgian. Belgium are knocking some players out at the minute, aren't they? Yeah. You know, they'd be a good outside bet for the... For the World Cup,
they will be in everybody's thoughts. Right. I think if they can keep everybody fit and firing on all cylinders, no doubt about that.
Obviously, the club, you know, PR-wise, we've had a couple of seasons where it's not been great. You know, we've been in the media for all the sort of probably the wrong reasons we've spoke about. You know, with Suarez, you know, being at the top end of the scale there with things. Do you think the Suarez deal and the Reina deal has been dealt with really well by Brendan Rodgers? Because Liverpool, we spoke with Roy Evans about it. Nothing ever got out at Liverpool, did it? All the business was done behind closed doors. Then we had a spell where everything was out in the open. It was always on the news and that.
Do you think when the two cowboys across the Atlantic had it, wasn't it? Hicks and Gillette.
American way, you think, to get everything on the table and be very out there and big.
It's been stopped now, you know. Yeah. And it's not, you know, there's so much leaked out, wasn't there, before these got involved, you know, and the last year in particular. They've got it back. To what it was. Brendan has helped that.
So is he saying the right things for you?
It's in-house. That's more important. You know, it's not leaking out about the players as much as what it used to do.
But I think, obviously, you know, everybody has a problem, don't they? Because it's 24-hour-a-day media now, and everybody's hunting the story. And what with all the social media conversations.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And all this type of stuff, it's very, very difficult to keep your sort of your thoughts to yourself. I think somewhere along the line, our stories often break. So, I mean, you can't compare with how Liverpool did it years ago. Liverpool were top class at that. You know, the first you found out was when the player had signed. Life has changed, and we've got to sort of go with all this speculation. And everybody's got to seem to, everyone's playing fantasy football all year around because we're all saying who we'd have and who we want to have. So it makes for good chat. But I don't think you're able now to keep your targets too much of a secret.
I think one thing that's being overlooked is the centre-half situation for me. Obviously, Jamie's gone. Skirtle was obviously not first choice last season for one reason or another. Quatez, for me, doesn't quite cut it yet. Maybe another season just to see how he goes. But to be fair to him, he's not gonna quite get it. Where does it leave us centre half? Because with the Suarez and the Reina situation, it's kind of being overlooked, isn't it?
Well, Skirtle is still in the loop, and you know, with Martin Skirtle had that great season where he was as steady as anybody.
I mean, you look at that back five; it was as good a back five as anything.
Yeah, but you know what happens in football sometimes, and Skirtle had a great season. On the back of that season, he got a new contract. And all of a sudden, how many times have we seen that over the years? When someone gets a new, they get the slippers on and they get the big cigar on and you lose them for a season. And then all of a sudden, you know, it happened to John Arne, a recent one season, he had that awful season, but then he got better and better because his contract was expiring down. It happens. Yeah. But it's a psychological thing. It happens. I don't care what anyone said. And he had a terrible season last season.
Oh, it does happen. And there are notorious players around the league who they live their life that way. But I think with Martin Skirtle, for me, I thought he got us to a bit of a poor start last year. The opening game at West Brom was poor, Man City. I mean, he was being asked to do something that maybe was a little bit foreign to him, be a little bit more of a ball player. Get off to an uncertain start, you know, with one or two things sort of get into your makeup. And for me, he never really found that his best form. It was stop start for him, but he's you know, he's got an awful lot to offer.
Yeah.
He's strong and he's intimidating. You know, I wouldn't rule him out the equation just yet.
But we don't know how good that season. Yeah, we know how good he can be. You know, you look, he lost his place. Jamie came in. How good was Jamie Carroll when he came in? He couldn't get his place back.
Yeah.
Hey, and that's a warning sign for him. And that I think he realises now, or he should do. You know, he's got to come good again and roll his sleeves up and battle for his place. I think Carlo Torre will do all right for us as a stopgap.
Yeah.
We got Aga, who touch wood is staying relatively injury free, and then he's going to look at the Quattas thing because I think for all of us. You have to say he doesn't look the part.
Well, does he cut his losses?
I mean, you look at cutting his losses, Asaidi, Quattes, Barini. Barini, I think, might be a little bit harsh because he did have that injury and I don't think we've seen the best of him. I think a lot of people have made the assumptions he's not quite going to cut it at Liverpool, but he has been injured. You know, there are a lot of clubs around Europe who do fancy him. You know, there was a rumour he was going to leave and a lot of clubs... You know, all of a sudden come to the forefront, or we'll take him. But Brendan Rodgers seems to have liked him. He's worked with him a long time. You know, so would you cut your losses with Barini, Asaidi and Quattes, them three?
Asaidi was brought in as a squad player at the time. I don't think he was ever been
and now
groomed as a front
down line. The pecking order.
I think he's dropped. Yeah, and yeah. I think I wouldn't be surprised to see Asaidi find his way back to Holland. Yeah. I think he has a good reputation in Holland. Be suited there. Unfortunately, I mean, I was told when he came here by somebody from Holland that he's one of those players that's going to excite you one week and the next week you're going to be pulling your hair out. I mean, that's often what you get with wingers anyway. But that has been very typical of Asaidi. He hasn't surprised that sort of that build up.
Thankfully, from a point of view, money wise, Asaidi only cost around about €3 million euros, which you'll get basically most of that back, if not all of it. With Barini at the moment, you wouldn't get the €10 million what we spent at the moment. So I think Brendan would probably give him till Christmas or another season to see if he can, because he's just done pretty well for Italy in the under-21s. He's done okay there, might give him a bit of confidence. He seems to me might be a bit of a confidence player, but he's got to show a lot more than what he has up to now.
I think you might find that there's going to be some interest for Barini. He had a reasonable summer with young Italy,
well,
and
people are talking about and maybe having a little sweep on it, aren't they?
Maybe Roma has been muted, and it wouldn't surprise me if an Italian club does come in for Barini.
But you wouldn't need €10 million, would you? That's what I'm saying.
That would be hard. I mean, most of the deals we're seeing at the moment are based on sort of a year long loan with an option to buy. I mean, that is the nature of transfers for most of the teams out there now, because. You know, clubs have been guilty of giving players too big a wages, and they're very difficult to move on.
It's funny how some players do suit their leagues where they're from, doesn't it? You know, you look at who was the Liverpool player we had, the Italian who went back on loan, Aquilani. Yeah,
I couldn't remember his name. Italian team now, isn't
he? You know, now he's flying again, isn't he? He just couldn't cut it in the Premier League, could he? There's a few players who just don't settle, isn't it?
It's funny. A lot over the years, that, isn't it?
Why is that? Do you think the way they're brought up, and all of a sudden the Premier League's a shock?
British players going abroad haven't cut it as well.
Well, it's been a lot.
Yeah,
I mean, there's only a handful. Probably a handful. There's obviously yourself done really well. Not as well as Stevie McLeigh, but you could say he was a success. By the way, how's he not got an OBE, by the way? Steve McMahon. I mean, he's the most decorated English player to play abroad. He's not got this OBE. Well,
you would say that. Trying to curry a bit of
get the voting going there.
Trying to curry a bit of favour, I think. I think it's very difficult for players to adapt. It's not as easy as it looks or appears to. I think it's easier these days actually to settle as a foreign player, but the time you went away, John, time I went away as well,
which
was extreme. I went to Switzerland and Belgium. I mean,
they don't count.
Know those. Well, they're abroad. last time I looked on the map, anyway. but it was much difficult in times gone by to go and live abroad. And these days, I mean, these lads can just jump on a plane and go home if they're feeling homesick. So it isn't as big a problem to settle, but having said that, some players are better suited to their style of game. And Barini, I mean, he misses the opportunity at Preston last week. I mean, there's a little bit of doubt in his head for me, because the opportunity is there, first touch, and then he hits the shot, but he puts that extra touch in, so he hasn't really settled.
Sure.
There's a lot of nerves about in his game at the moment, and that might be a little bit of a problem for Barini. I think he has got a major hurdle to get over for me.
Switzerland fits inside Steven Gerrard's back garden, by the way, so just to
Steve Gerrard. Steve Gerrard's back garden. You can fit Switzerland in that.
It's not as pretty as Switzerland.
Left back. Do we need a left back? Enrique was up and down last season, wasn't he?
Yeah, I don't. I think he come good at the end.
Best on the scene, by the way. What's a player I thought we'd signed, didn't he? Then he had a dip, didn't he? Now he's come back.
I thought he ended the season really strongly. He's a good player. He's great on the ball. He's very strong as well. He linked up well quite a few times with Coutinho on the left-hand side, and we scored a couple of great goals with him getting involved there. At the moment, I think it's not a necessity.
Yeah.
At the moment, for what the manager's got. Yeah, I think we've got enough to cover for him. If he used to get injured, we've got players like Martin Kelly can play over there.
Well, I don't think you put Kelly at left back, I think you've got options. We could have Robinson and Johnson. We've seen Robinson play right back. Obviously, Kelly could then play on the right. But for me, Enrique would be my favourite player, and I'm still he's in the doubtful sort of category for me personally.
Do you agree with John?
I would look to get a better one in. I know we're being linked with Sissoko at Valencia over the last couple of days, and I wouldn't rule that out personally. I know we're all speculating, it's all fancy football stuff again, but I do think the left back position is unsure, and I think that probably is an area where I think we could expect somebody to come in.
If that happens, I think it's very important that young Jack Robinson goes out on loan somewhere, because you can't stub his growth. The lad's got a bright future. He's a good player, and if once to come in, it would really harm him, because he needs to be playing games at this part of his career, doesn't he?
Well, Jack,
if that was to happen, it's all hypothetical, but
Jack always loved a pedigree sort of player. He's got a great style, but he had a little bit of an indifferent period, and that little spell where he came in last season and didn't perform at his best. I think that caught him by surprise, actually. From what I gather, he wasn't expecting to be involved in the in that game, and I think his preparation wasn't sort of absolutely tip-top, and it seems to shine through. But he is a player that you'd like to see maybe get a little bit more of an opportunity, and he's been restricted. He went off to Wolves. Didn't have a great experience at Wolves because Wolves were in a difficult time. That was the wrong choice of club to go on loan. But he's got talent, Jack.
We talk about it wasn't a great move for him, but you do learn a lot when you're down there and you're fighting. You do learn a lot.
It will help you down the line
mentally as well. Yeah, it does. Mm. But obviously, you made a good point about players making having a point to prove. A player who sort of burst on the scene again, done really really well, but then sort of fell off the map, didn't he? Was Raheem Sterling.
Yeah.
Big season for him, isn't it?
Massive. I have to say,
second season syndrome talk about.
Yeah, possibly. A lot of expectations.
Jordan Ibe is pushing him.
Well, I was just going to say, a stroke of genius last game of the season from the manager. He played Jordan Ibe, who done really, really, really well in the game. Yeah. And we've watched him. The three of us watched him closely on LFC TV, and I've always liked him. He's got a little bit of roughness about him, but his blistering pace, directness, positivity, knows where the goals can create, and all of a sudden this has been thrown in front of Raheem Sterling. There you go, you've got a challenge on now, son. Have a little go. He's going to come out the top of you or Jordan, because he's with you now. He's shown he can do what you can do, and that should bring the best out of Raheem Sterling and Jordan Ibe.
It was a great move for Ibe to have that debut match right at the end of the season. We've seen that before in years gone by. The likes of Michael Owen played very late on in the season, if it wasn't the last game, and make an impact. And I remember one or two others of managers have sort of just given them a little taste and then sent them away on the summer, and sort of said, right, it's there for you now. And as John says, it is really a little bit of a battle for Sterling. He's had to sort of sit up and think, well, I had all that publicity and the great sort of promotion to the England team. Maybe that was a little bit too early in my book. It put him under a bit of a strain, and could he live up to the expectation? But he's got a great battle.
I'll tell you what left a sour taste in my mouth is, obviously you want these kids coming through, and yet they deserve what they get. But all of a sudden you've got Raheem Sterling knocking on the manager's door, being in the papers about he wants a new contract, he wants this, he wants that. Mm. He's got his demands and everything. Mm. What I like about Jordan Ibe is he seems to be getting managed a bit better, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He's come on the scene, we know a lot about him, he's got into the first team, it's been very, very quiet, he's going about his business, for me, in the right way.
Yeah, the only thing is, Chase, you're right, but the agent will be waiting and waiting and waiting. He will. When he plays five or six games, he'll be banging on the door of the agent.
Yeah, but then like you look at this agent situation, and we, you know, you can talk about Rooney, isn't it? There's means and ways of handling it. I think Rooney's agent is killing him. The stuff that he gets puts out there. I think he leaves Rooney out to dry, and I think sometimes, you know, Raheem Sterling's agent, I don't know who he is, I just thought it could have been handled a bit better. Just protect your player a little bit more, because at the end of the day, it's the player that gets the stick when he is in the newspaper, because it's the player that's knocking on the door, when really we know it's the agent knocking on the door, isn't it?
There has to be a common sense approach by both sides, and I think they have to try and convince the player that what is good for him, you know, from a club's point of view, and the agent should be working hand in hand with the player rather than sort of saying let's get everything in as quick as we can, because that can have a detrimental effect, and nothing lasts forever. I think you look at the big stars who, you know, have really handled their career well and are there long term. I mean, that's who you look to, and you think, well, you know, what were they kind of doing? Were they shouting and bawling at their first shot of success? I think you've got to. I think you've got to balance it.
Would you? Here's a question. And would you send Sterling out on loan?
No, not yet.
Keep him there. You can keep him in the squad.
Not yet. No.
So you're open to the suggestion,
I'd wait and see how the next till Christmas. You know, with what we've got with IB and AIM, and you know what you can get the best out. Make the bench stronger.
I would agree with that. I think that it would be wrong to send him out now, but I don't think you could wait too long to send him out alone. Then it looks like, you know, the career is going the wrong way. But maybe this season, we look to have so many options in that sort of midfield wide areas that maybe it's going to come to that. And January may be the time.
He breaks through. You know, with all the challenges you've got ahead of him, or he'll go down the pecking order and then that'll be done, maybe.
The other thing that it's worked its way into football, I think Man United have done it really, really well, is they have these players, don't they, these squad players, these young squad players, and Alex Ferguson put them out on loan, didn't he? Preston, Berry. You know, and the value goes up because now they've got a little bit more experience, and it's like they may only get rid of them then or sell them on maybe for 2 or 3 million. You get 10 of them. You've got 30 million, which keeps your academy going, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
It's like it's not daft what they do.
No,
it's business,
no.
Isn't it?
It is.
Now Liverpool don't seem to do that. I mean, we look now. I mean, with the stuff that's been put down, because Connor Cody's gone to Sheffield United.
Yeah.
You know, that's good. It seems that Liverpool are now sort of getting that mindset, get them out on loan. You know, they're not going to quite cut it, but at least the value goes up.
I think we've had a lot of. I think, in truth, we have had a lot of players out on loan. There was a spell there about a year, 18 months ago. We had probably 13 or 14 players out. There was a lot of players, and you know, there were players that weren't actually going
to
come through. It was a way of getting rid of them. They weren't going to
Do you know what the turnover of them players are? Many of them players have moved on. Do you know?
A lot of them,
because you work closely with them.
Well, a lot of players have disappeared. All but disappeared. You looked at the reserve team when that Gary Ablett was handling. A lot of those players, none of them have come through. Adorjan was in the loop. He's just gone out on loan, I think, to Groningen. So very few of them actually came through. I think we had a group of players that there was no real future for, and a lot of them were out on loan. And Mendy's gone out on loan, hasn't he? I think he's gone up to Scotland. So
the other one was the fellow went to Hearts, didn't he, as well?
Ngoo. And did really well. So, and made
so
a bit of a reputation.
He's done really well. Suso's another one gone back to Spain. So the manager's well aware of this.
Pacheco's out on loan, hasn't he?
So they're well aware of this. The value's going up, and if they don't quite cut it, then there's selling. There's a selling market for
it. At the end of the day, the under-21 league is basically for apprentices to push themselves into that and show themselves. You want ideally in the under-21, your 18s and your 17s, 18s, like Lloyd Jones or whatever, Jack Dunn, pushing up to play against, you know, the older players like that in an ideal world. You know, but the ones for them players we just mentioned, that league's no good for them. They've played in the last 2 years. So I think the loan system then becomes invaluable, because for the experience to go in a game, you know, whether it's abroad or in the country, they're better off playing in front of 15,000 people than playing, with all due respects, at the academy and getting more benefit.
It's a two-pronged thing. I mean, you either send them out on loan to benefit and come back, and hopefully there are one or two that will get that experience. Alternatively, you send them out on loan just to get them out in the window, because they're not going to be going to get much money for them playing in what is now the reserve team league, because it's very difficult to shine there and show that you're above the rest.
Did you ever go out on loan? Did you ever get the opportunity?
No.
Did you want to? Never at a club where
I've always liked to fight for my place here.
Yeah, I've also
a bit of a disrespectful thing when you're a senior player and the manager says, do you want to go out on loan? You always think like, what's that mean? basically you don't want me.
It's called getting custard pie, Jake.
Custard pie right in the face.
It's prizing the door open to kick you out, I think. Yeah. It's in the old days we can joke about that. It's changed slightly these days.
It's changed a lot now
and it's become a major feature of the transfer market because, you know, as I said earlier, so many players are on too high a salary and really clubs are their own worst enemy. They've sort of shot themselves in the foot, really.
I don't know if you're like me, but I'm still in football mode, mate. Even though I'm not playing in the game and stuff, I still treat like the pre-season as my break kind of thing. And I'm really like now looking forward to the season. You know, I've had enough of mulling around, watching golf and cricket on the telly. I just want for the footy season to start. Yeah. Are you two the same?
Yeah, very much so. I think you're looking forward to the following season once the,
you know, the day of
the last game.
In the sense of your timings are all the same. Yeah. You plan your holidays around.
You do. In many ways. I'm not getting into it at the moment because I think this Suarez thing has left a stigma. Like, it's like a cloud over my head because I want us to get a fourth. Like, we all want us to do well next year. Until we know what's happening with them,
we're in limbo with it.
You can't look forward. You don't know what the squad's going to, you know, we're waiting for another bite. Obviously, he stays and we go and get another bite. Then we'll go, oh, now, bring on Stoke now, you know what I mean? But at the moment, I'm just waiting for something to happen.
I think the juices are flowing, but they are tempered a little bit. And I think the real expectation, you know, won't begin until you feel as if you've got the settled squad. Yeah.
What else have you been up to this summer? Lots of golf.
Lots of travelling and a bit of coaching personally. I've been out there and done a bit of coaching in Scandinavia. I'm out again. Switzerland is too expensive. Not Switzerland, strangely. Sweden, Norway, Denmark this week. Throughout Scandinavia, yeah.
I've just been going to Portugal whenever I can, just playing golf in both
these things. You haven't been to Switzerland, John, no?
It's lovely. It's a beautiful place.
Did we ever play there? Did you play there?
I played there in the UEFA Cup for Real Sociedad.
Lucerne.
I played in Lucerne. Yeah. I played in Lucerne. It's a beautiful place. It's a beautiful place.
Switzerland knocked us out once, didn't they? Was it the two brothers?
Yeah.
They're only as big as Stephen Gerrard's garden. But what's that say about Ireland?
Switzerland. They were him. Weren't they thingy in the war?
Dave's been waiting for that.
I've been above my head, I didn't even listen. Weren't they neutral in the war, Switzerland? A bit like us, Ireland, we were neutral in the war, weren't we?
There's no neutrality in war.
Last question, Aldo. Irish tour coming up. Looking forward to it. Belfast and Dublin, we've got.
Yeah, brilliant. You know, a few pints of Guinness. You know, that's the main thing, isn't it? You know, the Guinness over there is like cream to milk, semi-skim milk over here, so... We'll have a good couple of days. Yeah, game of golf thrown in, hopefully, and Belfast, great place. Dublin, fantastic. So it'll be brilliant for us to have a little couple of days out. Yeah, we'll have to make sure that we keep Deep Matter Man under wraps, though. You know what he's like when he's had a few berries.
He does like a drink, doesn't he? Yeah. Just to finish, then, top four, we're going to get it this season.
I would not rule us out. I think I'm genuinely excited. I think the prospect of the likes of Luis Alberto and Aspas are bright. I think obviously the young players that we've said as well are encouraging. And we get the Suarez deal sorted out, then for me, yeah, we're going to be threatening, knocking on the door. I think the start favours us getting up with the front runners early on, and that'll be a good thing.
Give us your top four then.
I think City, Chelsea.
City to win it.
Chelsea, they're thereabouts. We'll creep into fourth, and I think they might knock. I'm hoping for a Manchester United bad year, so United to finish fifth.
I'll let me hold.
Hold on a minute. I can't even work that out. You got United fifth.
No.
Liverpool fourth. Yeah. Man City winning it. Chelsea second. Who's third? Arsenal third. Okay.
We might
just
be third.
Just to clear that up.
I'd love that.
Tottenham maybe in there somewhere.
I'd love that.
You've got six in four places there.
It's hard again, going back to what I was saying, to, you know, what squad we've got. But if he stays and we get another big sign, I think we can push for it. It showed that with our form from Christmas up to May. So we shouldn't be too far away.
What's the top four then?
obviously, you know, whether David Moyes is there or not, they're going to be there. I wouldn't know. I don't know who's going to win it. I wouldn't put anyone.
Chelsea, Mourinho's return.
Well, it doesn't always happen that way, but I'm sure he'll do well. Man City's got a great manager, I think. I think he's a really good manager. Him. So
does going back? Would they always say you should never go back?
Does it? Should you go back? Should you not go back?
It's happened. A few people have been successful, but more people than they're not haven't been successful. That's why it's always questioned, isn't it?
Yeah. It won't be as easy this time for him. I mean, when he came first and foremost, you know, first of all, he was new and it was all exciting. Now they're expecting these things, and that might be a bit of a problem for them, really.
So what's your top four, Stonks?
I'll go with Dave. Hopefully. No. I think Man United. Sorry, they're going to be there.
They'll be in the four.
I think we've got to try to push Arsenal out.
Yeah,
we've got to just try and push.
It'll
Arsenal
be between
out.
Arsenal, Tottenham, Liverpool.
Tottenham, great squad. They with that club.
Still think Bale's going to go. Me.
Yeah,
still
I think
Bale's
going to
go.
I wouldn't be surprised.
What a
I know everyone's saying about Rooney going to Chelsea. I think Arsenal are going to make a big push to get Rooney. Big push.
Do you think it's a shame? I know I keep saying I'm fine, but do you think it's a shame? You know, Gareth Bale last season was absolutely outstanding, and he, you know, like when you watch the golf, you want to watch Tiger, don't you? Make the cut, you want to see him there, because he adds that like sparkle and that spice to that event, doesn't it? And you know, Gareth Bale for me, you know, I'd watch Tottenham because he was playing. You know, he's fantastic. Do you want to see these players? Luis Suarez, another fantastic player. You love watching, right? I know it's great to keep them, but do you think it's a disappointment when they go and they go abroad and they go out to Spain or they go out to Bayern Munich now in the market of big players?
Yeah, it is. Does for it... me, but from a personal point of view, you know, if Gareth Bale goes from Tottenham, I'd be delighted.
For a Liverpool point
of
view?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, but from, like, you know, watching the Premier League, is it a disappointment?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Because, you know, because that's why, you know, it's,
you want to see him play.
Everyone loves it. That's why it's fanatical all over the world, isn't it? The way we play our football in England and, you know, the players that we've got likes of him. From a Liverpool point of view, we want to get in the top four. It's so important that we get in the top four and the stadium gets, you know, rebuilt up where we know it's going to be to the 60,000. Then maybe we can push on, you know, and turn things around as Belgium has at the moment. You know, it swings and roundabouts. They came back into the international scene as they were like 20, 30
it's
years
never been
ago.
The same since they've come back home.
You're right, Belgium. Actually. That just league. Started looking up. It's my heritage. I left. I got them on the straight and narrow.
It's all down to you, this Belgian revival.
You got it. Yeah, you said it first.
Lads, it's been an absolute pleasure to be sitting with two legends and talking about the game in general. Have a great summer. I'm sure we'll talk again. Fantastic.
Five Times is going on tour. Join John Barnes, Jan Mulby, Jason McAteer, John Aldridge and Diddy Harmon live at the Empire Belfast on the 29th of August and the Academy Dublin on the 30th of August. If you are a Liverpool fan, you will not want to miss this amazing night of cheers and loads of beers. For tickets and more information, visit www.fivetimes.co or follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Five Times Tour. Don't miss out.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.